Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio, sponsored today, Omega Processing Solutions, headquartered in Fort Thomas, Kentucky on Alexandria Pike. You can call them at 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724. If you're a small business looking for a national leader in electronic payment processing or just regular credit card processing, check guarantee recovery, gift and loyalty programs, you need to be calling Omega Processing Solutions. They've been a great partner. You need to be calling these guys. They are a local leader, and they do a really good job. Today on the show, we've got Tim Nolan, a retired district court judge who is in the news right now for an appointment that he received earlier this week, which was taken away from him the day later. So we're going to get right into it and get his account of things directly from him. So without further ado, here we go. So we're here with Tim Nolan today in the Fort Thomas Matters podcast studio. Tim has been in the news recently, got an appointment and a new commission that was formed, and then the next day it was taken away from him. So we're going to talk to him and get his thoughts on that. Tim, how are you, man?
Great. Good to see you today.
So let's just start there. So you were, give me the timeline. You were appointed to...
Last Monday, I was appointed to the Boxing, Wrestling, and Full Contact Sport Commission. It was basically a reorganized commission, and the purpose of it was to promote... those sports, they really hadn't been doing too well in Kentucky. Particularly, boxing has been down, and wrestling has done a little bit. But the new cage fighting is really starting to take off, but it needs a lot of regulation. There's some problems with record keeping, et cetera. So I had expressed an interest in that area. Got some time on my hands, and it's actually commission that only pays you for travel. It's not like a big job, but my grandfather was a bare knuckles boxer, and I have a nephew who's very skilled in some of the arts, particularly I can't think of the name of it, from the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, there you go. He's an ultra MMA black stuff.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So that's why I expressed an interest in it, and then I received my appointment, and I was...
When did you receive it?
On Monday. This is today's, Friday?
Yeah, we're recording this on Friday, May 20th.
So that would have been last Monday, whatever day that was.
So then you drive to Frankfurt.
Well, no, things happened. I mean, it wasn't just all of a sudden. What happened was I had a call from the appointing person who said that... there were some questions about me that had been raised, and the question that he told me had been raised was there's a local fella from Alexandria who has a
a website.
He has his own website.
Yeah,
exactly. And I can.
What is it?
It's called gopfax.org.
Okay.
His name is Michael Combs. He lives in Alexandria. Unfortunately, he's a nut. And he has asserted that I am not only a member of, but head of the Ku Klux Klan. And he has a picture purporting to be me, which isn't, to prove that.
So that the picture is on the website.
Is on his website, along with a lot of other information about me and other people that he hates. He's a failed politician and a political wannabe who hangs around with some undesirable people in the county, and he has some other people working with him on this to make it look legit. I do have got an attorney, and we're going to be filing suit to stop this, because it sounds funny, but really when it starts to have an effect on you, it's not. Particularly in my case, because I'm anything but a racist. I'm a Catholic. I'm a very strong member of the Knights of Columbus. And then during my career, I've been head of the Northern Kentucky Legal Aid Society. I've worked closely with the Community Action Commission. Any of the older people in Northern Kentucky that are particularly African-Americans would know how I filed suit. I stopped a bunch of racist things, and I don't stand for racism.
So have you seen the picture?
Oh, absolutely.
What does it look? Set the stage a little bit. So
what happened was, I own the property where there's a bar out in the south end of the county, and I bought it to try to buy some property adjacent to it the state owns. But in any event, it's a little bar, and they had a Halloween party, and I attended. At this Halloween party a couple of years ago, people come in various types of
regalia.
Correct.
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. So what happened was some people showed up, looked like Kiss. So I took a picture. I said, oh, come down and get an autograph from Kiss. Some people came like vampires. Be careful. You'll get bit by the vampire. I think the Walking Dead was getting going. We certainly had some of the
zombies,
yeah, et cetera. Well, there's an individual who's I don't know that I should name him right now, but he comes from a very strong Catholic family in the southern end of the county that are very large and well known. And he has a kind of a habit on Halloween of dressing up as a Ku Klux Klansman. Pretty much everybody knows him, and they know that he has black grandchildren. So the idea is that he likes to make fun of the Ku Klux Klan on Halloween. Well, I took a picture of that. The picture, actually, I did post it on Facebook, and I said, come to the rabbit hole and join the Klan with a C. The picture is obviously a joke. There's a young lady that was being pushed to grab him between the legs, so it's not exactly uncolorful. They're smoking, and it was obvious to anybody that knew me on Facebook that they would know who it was and that it was nothing to do with anything to do with the real Ku Klux Klan. However, this individual who does know me well and who I've had altercations with, actually, he used to be on the school board. He's tried to run for county commissioner. Really, he's a nut. I mean, I just have to tell you this. His name's Michael Combs. Anybody that knows him knows what kind of an idiot he is. So he's putting on there that knowingly, he's saying the picture is of me and that I'm head of the Ku Klux Klan and that I'm trying to recruit people for the Klan at the bar. So it's so ridiculous, I really didn't pay any attention until I went to a 4th District meeting of the Republicans about a month ago. And I was a delegate because I'm head of the Trump organization in Campbell County. And there's a very fine gentleman who's a retired a police officer from Boone County. His name's Robinson. And he's a very easy to see fella because he's about 6'7" and he's African American. And he said, Tim, can I talk to you? I said, sure. We went in the corner. He says, I've received an email and a picture from somebody in Campbell County that says you're head of the Ku Klux Klan. I said, I know who it is. I know what it's about. And I gave him the names of some people that I knew very well in Campbell County. One individual is a retired police officer that I've known for 30 years. And I said, do you know this guy? He said, yeah. I said, here, would you call him for me? And if he thinks there's any substance to this or it's not, you know, I said, would you call me back? And of course, he didn't call me back because I know that individual would have set him straight. But when a stranger receives something like that, you know, and so I have talked to attorneys and we are going to file suit and I'm going to seek damages because it's really harmed my reputation.
Sure.
But in any event, they saw this as a chance to get at me. And apparently, Governor Bevin, I guess, doesn't have the thick skin that some people have, even though a myriad of people called and assured them that apparently he was still somewhat concerned about it after the appointment.
So let's turn it a little bit because the guy that the Mr. Combs who you talk about that did the website, he's not here, so I can't bring.
No,
that.
I understand.
So let's kind of turn that a little bit back to the timeline. So you were given
the appointment. The next day, I was given a call and. And they said, there's some concern. I asked the concern, and they said that. So then I had people respond.
You drove down to Frankfurt?
No. This is before I was on my way.
Okay.
Okay. So this is Tuesday. Okay. The meeting was Wednesday afternoon. So then I get another call. Well, there's some other concerns. And I said, what are they? Well, I'd rather, you know, they said, well, we'd rather not go into it. We'd just appreciate it if you'd just resign. I said, why? I'm the same person today as I was yesterday. And I said, They had even asked me the day before that they said they didn't like people who are appointed to be on Facebook. I said, that's no problem. I'll just get off Facebook. So I had already done that. And I said, it couldn't be anything that I did today or yesterday. Well, then I asked some of my other friends to call to see what's going on and call other people. And it came back to me that I had made a remark about Chief Justice Minton during the controversy. My daughter is a circuit court clerk, and not only that, she's the legislative committee chairman, and they had a bill last year to give them parity in pay with the county clerks. The Chief Justice didn't want them to have it. He fought with them about it. They got their own legislative
lobbyist,
yeah. Right? And they got it in. They got it inserted into law unanimously. Both sessions of the legislature were highly in favor of that, and they put it in the judicial budget. Well, apparently, the Chief Justice had a secret meeting with the governor, and as part of those six measures that the governor vetoed, one of them was a line item veto of the clerk's pay. So I put on my Facebook that he was an asshole.
So you wrote that, right?
I wrote that right on my Facebook, and I said why.
So,
and I talked about the whole issue in detail, you know. And
how do you know that they had a secret meeting?
Well, I've been told by highly reliable sources. I mean, it'll come out, I think. I don't know that he'll deny meeting with the governor, you know. In looking at his response.
Yeah, let's talk about there. So there was a Courier Journal article that was published.
Yeah, the Courier Journal was published actually yesterday.
Andrew Wolfson was the author of that. And he said that the Chief Justice doesn't know Nolan, isn't on Facebook, and he doesn't even know that there was a new boxing and wrestling commission.
Well, and he also said through his chief of staff, Katie Shepard, he never asked the governor to veto a line item in the budget that would have given the circuit clerks pay parity with the other county officials. I don't think that's true. I think that he did. Why in the world would the governor, out of the clear blue, decide I'm going to make 120 circuit court clerks mad over a few thousand dollars that the legislature said they're entitled to? Why in the world would they have thousands of employees and they come in contact with everyone in the state of Kentucky when they issue driver's license, et cetera. Why would you put your basic integrity as a politician on the line for such a petty issue unless you were asked to by a prominent person that you needed a possible favor from? I mean, if he, in fact, those two met, that stinks. You know, we have three separate branches of government, and I don't think under any circumstances the governor should meet with the Chief Justice other than out in the open. Right now, we have a Democratic Attorney General who is threatening or has filed certain suits about the governor, and the governor's been actually acting pretty erratic. I saw in the news the other day he had the state police come and guard an individual on the pension fund and threaten to have him arrested for being at a meeting. I mean, things are getting pretty bizarre, and it's certainly not the Bevin that I campaigned for or I thought I knew.
So let's start here, because you said that, and you're pretty outspoken, to the point guy, right?
Absolutely. You say anybody that knows me, let me say this.
Sure.
On my Facebook page.
Is that up now?
It's not up. Okay. And here's the problem. I took it down because they asked me to, and I happened to be in a restaurant, and I didn't know how to do it. I grew up with dial telephones and manual typewriters. There were a couple of young ladies at the adjoining table, and I said, do you know how to take a Facebook page down? And they said, sure. I think they permanently deleted it instead of temporarily like I wanted them to. But anyway, be that as it may, you know, I'm not going to deny anything, you know, that I do or say. But on this issue, I just want to make it clear that I'm not an uneducated boob that chose this word just because I used to work on a truck dock or was a Teamster, and that's the normal way to speak. I think it fits. This word fits what the Chief Justice did, and I would refer anybody who's having trouble in their workplace. There's a book called The No Asshole rule by a fellow named Sutton that really tells people how to deal with this kind of thing. And I would highly recommend that. And you know, to anybody that might be having trouble in the workplace, and it outlines, you know, how to deal with people. And of course, in this case, the Chief Justice is acting like a bully, and he's mad. His feelings were hurt because they went around him and got their own legislative advocate and got the deal done. So, it's crystal clear that the only reason the governor would have line item vetoed a very minor matter is because the Chief Justice asked him to.
So let's just put those on the table, and let's pretend for a minute that all of those are given and those are all true.
Correct.
I don't know that.
I don't know for a fact.
Well, let's say this, though.
I'm just saying there's a lot of smoking guns out there that need to be pursued.
So Tim Nolan puts on his Facebook account, Chief Justice of Kentucky is an asshole. Let's say that is true, as you said.
Absolutely.
So
that was out there months before the appointment on Monday. So it isn't like I put it, I changed from Monday to Tuesday. But for some reason then on Wednesday, I called in the governor's office and I said, this was like 11 o'clock. And I said, the meeting's at 4:00. You know, I'm not going to resign. I didn't do anything. I'm not going to resign. I'm not that type of person. If you got any questions, tell the governor to call me or the lieutenant governor or somebody else, the chief of staff. I said, I'll answer any questions about any, I'll justify anything I've ever done or anything I do. And I said, I'm not one to run from a fight for sure. And so I said, if I don't hear anything from you, I'll be leaving about probably 1:30. And I go the back way and I usually don't get any service on my phone on the way. So I left, hadn't heard anything. In fact, right before I left at 1:30, I called. I said, has there been any action? No. I said, okay. So I left for the meeting. I got there about 4:15 and sitting there waiting for the meeting. And then about 5 minutes later, which is about 10 minutes to 4:00, the attorney for the commission, very, very fine, well-spoken, obviously educated young man, asked to see me privately. And we went in the other room and he said, I hate to be the one to tell you this. I said, you know, you never kill the messenger. I said, spit it out, you know, because he was very nervous. He said, but there's an order that came through from the governor kicking you off the commission or saying that you shouldn't be sworn in. I said, can I have a copy? And he gave me a copy. I said, well, I'm going to stay for the meeting anyway because I'm really interested in this area. And it was really interesting. I met and then...
So you were there with the other commission members?
Well, I sat in the audience. I didn't sit with the commission. I sat in the audience and I met a lot of people that were there. And there were people from all over the state getting licenses for various things, various problems, you know, to deal with the various issues that they deal with. So I've met some real nice guys that ran gyms, you know, and this and that.
What did some of the, did you talk to any of the commission members?
Introduce myself. And the three commission members seemed like very fine people who were there for the right reasons. One of them is a neurologist or neurosurgeon, I'm not sure, in that area.
Yeah.
And he's going to set up the real purpose of the commission was not only to promote the sport, but to make sure it's safer. And, you know, all really good things that need to be done. And so this guy's seems like a real dedicated.
That's Dr. Tad Seifert from Louisville.
Yeah, struck me as a very, very smart, very, very sharp individual, as were the other two, the chairman, the vice chairman, all three from Louisville, all seem like really good people. And like I said, this isn't something that you get paid to do. It's just a, sort of a thing that you do because you either love the sport or you want to help out your state or that sort of thing. That was my idea.
So you watched as an audience member. Did you talk to anybody from the administration that day?
Yes, I talked to their...
Other than the attorney?
No, yeah, there's one fellow that's a hard guy who I had talked to ahead of time, and a wonderful guy. He's so dedicated. Been there like 28 years. Actually, I saw him at the last time they had an MMA cage fight at Northern about 2 weeks ago. He was there and he don't even get paid, but he helps out like as the timekeeper. Just very, very good guy. You know, for what he gets paid, he does a yeoman effort. And he had filled me in and called me when he saw I was appointed and told me the issues confronting the commission and his dreams and hopes. And I shared a lot of that. And he and I, you know, and so I went up and told him, you know, that I'd been decommissioned. He said, "Oh no." He said, "He's," you know, he just expressed his, asked me why, and I told him, and he just rolled his eyes and went on.
So we asked, I tried to reach out to the governor's people as well. They said they don't, you know, comment on personnel issues. So
I don't know this is so much a personnel issue, since it's a commission and I'm not an employee. So I don't know why they won't comment. I wish they would.
Do you expect to hear from them?
I asked to, and you know, now they won't even return phone calls. So,
well, let me ask you this. So you call the Chief Justice an asshole. You say it's justified. You have your reasons. You don't back down. With that in mind, do you understand why they would move away from that?
Why they would move away from it?
Yeah.
Well, if they wanted to be fair and honest, now that it's all out in the open, I mean, I think the Chief Justice should apologize for maybe his chief of staff misspoke, because I feel certain that he had something to do with the clerks not getting their pay parity. And if he didn't, right now, he has the authority to go ahead and give it to them. So if he's in favor of that, there's no reason why he can't just, with a stroke of the pen, give them their pay parity. There's nothing at all to prevent that, take that little paltry amount out of the budget.
Sure.
And let me say, we didn't talk about the other part of the governor's veto, okay? The legislature had taken $32 million that the court generates for certain things and had earmarked that for the general fund. At the same time that the governor—
Is that stuff like license plates and stuff like that?
A bunch of stuff that they get money for. So whatever— So what happened was, after his conversation with the Chief Justice, he decided all his other vetoes were to cut money. He decided to give that $32 million to the Chief Justice. So, you know, on the one hand, if he says, "Oh, I'm trying to save money by not giving this clerk this paltry raise of a few thousand dollars apiece," why in the world would he give $32 million back to the Chief Justice to do what he wanted with it?
So you and I talked before we started this conversation about some of the politics, the behind the scene politics that deals with, you know, the judges, the chief judges.
Exactly. And this is things that people don't know very much about, doesn't get much publicity.
Well,
you know,
judges are hard because they're not, it's not a partisan thing. So it's hard to know.
Well, they are elected though.
Well, but, sure.
And now I think they're getting a lot more able to speak. Now I know they're at least able to tell you what party they belong to as they run and that sort of thing. Back when I was a judge, it was so terrible. This is really pretty funny. It's kind of an aside, but this isn't the first Chief Justice that I've run into problems with. The Chief Justice when I was first elected was a fellow by the name of John Palmore. And you talk about an arrogant asshole. This guy fit the mold. When we first were elected, kind of off the subject, but it's a pretty funny story, getting into the politics of the judiciary.
Sure.
So the district court was created by a constitutional amendment back in 1975. And then in 76, there was an election to hold Court of Appeals, and the people on the Court of Appeals were elevated to Supreme Court. Prior to that, we had three levels, and the lower courts were generally held by non-lawyers. Somebody would be a fork truck driver in the daytime, come home and open his garage and have people come in with speeding tickets and said, "Do you want to pay the ticket now or after you have my trial?" And so that's one reason why this judicial amendment passed overwhelmingly to create the new district court. So I was excited to be one of the people that first get elected to set it up. Before we even started in 1978, there were lots of problems. First of all, the county judges were incensed because they didn't realize how many of their powers they were going to lose, because they were in charge of the little courts. They were in charge of the of a probate. They were in charge of juvenile court. And so a lot of their power was taken away by the new district court. So many of them didn't even want to let the judges have a courtroom to operate in the courthouse around the state. So we had all kinds of problems to deal with. But at the same time, this judge at Palmore was interested in building a new building for him and the rest of his people in Frankfort. So he knew we were extremely concerned because the salary hadn't gotten set until we got elected. Well, it turned out to be half of what we expected. So the first batch of district judges was probably 60% young people like me. I was only 29 when I first got elected. And then the other maybe 40% were older people that just wanted to have a few years extra on their pension and the end of their careers, etc. Well, the firebrands, as I would call it, we had gotten together before we were called to Frankfort. And so when we intended to form a District Judges Association and lobby for a pay raise immediately in January before the legislature. The pay was set at $27,500, which, you know, wasn't much even in 1978. Most of us were making twice that much in our other endeavors, you know, but we did want to serve, et cetera. So we thought we could do some good with the legislature. So we were called to Frankfort mysteriously a week before we were to start the court in the end of December. And we filed into this auditorium, and the clerk from the Supreme Court handed out an order from the Chief Justice, Palmore. And the order said that no member of the judiciary should ever talk to any member of the legislature about any matter whatsoever, you know, point on point.
What would the purpose of that be?
To stop us from trying to get a pay raise, obviously. And it was as obvious as the nose on his face. So he took the podium and said, now I know you boys might not like this. And actually, there were two girls elected. The first crop of district judges had two women, one black, and the rest of us were white. And like I said, mostly young. So he says, you boys might not like this, and you might think I'm a jerk for doing this. He says, and you might want to call me son of a bitch. He said, but he said, well, you got to do things my way, and I'm the boss, basically, and this is the way it's going to be. So he gave his little spiel, and I was sitting in the front seat with a bunch of boys from Louisville that were younger, and he said, any questions? So I was the first one to raise my hand. So I'm glad you said we can call you a son of a bitch, because that's what I think of you. And I said, this order, I'm not going to follow it. I said, I didn't leave my constitutional rights at home when I got elected judge, and I'm going to go to the legislature. And what do you think you're going to do about it? Well, he turned fire red. He was always kind of red anyway. He turned fire red and he said, try me and see, and walked off the stage.
And you were 29 at that point?
Yeah. So everybody gave me a round of applause. Anybody that's still alive that's a first district judge. And they said, well, we better make him an officer in the district judges because they're going to come after him. Well, they did. Every year I was drug in front of the Judicial Retirement and Removal Commission. Okay. And one year I finally got fed up with it. And this was so petty. They brought me up on a charge that when I campaigned, I said I was for law and order. And so they said that was a disputed issue of law and fact, and that no judge was entitled to say that. Okay, so I went in front of the commission.
The Judicial
Removal Commission. Yeah. And I said, they said, and the one fellow, you know, was used to me and I was used to him because he was the Chief Justice's right-hand man, and he's dead now. He fell out of Lexington. He says, what do you got to say to this? I said, I'll accept that. I said, I will plead guilty and I will take my punishment. He says, well, we're going to give you a private reprimand. I said, oh, no. I said, I'll only take it if you make it public.
So, not many judges would say that.
So he didn't know what to say. He said, okay, we'll give you. So I have it in writing from the Kentucky Removal Commission that I was reprimanded for saying I was for law and order. Well, I've shown it to people all over the country. I showed it when I campaigned. I said, I'm sorry, folks. I'm not allowed to say that I'm for law and order. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing you'd ever want.
You have it framed at your house?
I lost it in a move, but it is still on file in Frankfort. I got to get another copy of it. But, you know, just to let you know something about politics, it just didn't start yesterday. Judicial politics are some of the worst because it's all behind closed doors. So now what we got to deal with this Chief Justice.
The current one, John.
Yeah, Newton. Yeah. He's the he's been the Chief Justice two terms. The way you become Chief Justice is you get elected by your peers. There are seven justices elected from around the state, various, you know, it's cut up into districts.
Sure.
Ours roughly parallels the fourth district, congressional district. And so They get together and they've elected him twice. Now this time,
who is our district judge? Judicial?
Our Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Is Michelle Keller from Fort Mitchell. Very, very good justice. Even though she's a Democrat, but she's still done a hell of a good job. But so there right now, I understand that there are many people that don't think he should be reelected, but he is the president elect of the National Society, or whatever you want to call it, of state judges, justices, or Supreme Court heads. So he ascends to the new throne next year if he gets reelected in June. So
he's got nationwide.
That's nationwide.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't get them to go along with him in June, so you know,
is there any chance that doesn't happen?
I understand right now it's 3-3, and there's one person on the fence. So you know, they could very well decide with this controversy, and especially, I mean, I don't know why he just doesn't come out and say, yeah, I was against that. I'm vindictive, and they're not going to go end around me and go to the legislature, and I told the governor to veto it, and I'm powerful.
You know? To your point, you know, he says through his chief of staff that he really doesn't know you. Have you ever met him before?
I've met him. I've got a picture taken with him when we dedicated the courthouse in the new courthouse in Newport, that Tanya occupies the first floor, and we talked, et cetera. Now, talked to him a couple other times. We can't say that we're friends or we've ever talked on the phone or whatever, or outside of public occasions, but you know, he certainly should know who I am. And I think he's being extremely disingenuous when he says he's not for this pay raise, because if he wants to, he can just, with a stroke of the pen, give them their pay parity right now out of the $32 million that the governor gave him on the side.
So, and
the governor vetoed, all his other vetoes were to save money. I mean, he made everybody mad.
Do you think those vetoes were good?
The other not, ones? Not even one of them. Not even one of them. I have to agree with the Democrats and Speaker Stumbo. I think he's playing politics of the worst kind. I mean, it's really not the Bevin. You know, in retrospect, I probably shouldn't even have taken the appointment, because I start to wonder about him. And here's what I really wonder about. When he ran against McConnell, McConnell made a good point. He's from the East. You know, he's an Eastern bigwig businessman. And I don't know that he really has Kentucky values, because one of the first things he did, and I criticized him for this, was he disrespected President Davis of the Confederacy and wanted to remove his statue in the rotunda. I mean, that's an absolutely ridiculous standpoint. They did a poll, 85% of the Kentuckians were against that. So he backed down. And I know that he's adopted black children from Africa, and I applaud him for that. And he's sensitive, I guess, about the race issue. But the way to be sensitive is not to disrespect members of the Confederacy who fought so hard. My great uncle was one of the, I'm proud to say, was one of the he was captain for General John Morgan and Morgan's Raiders out of Lexington. And, for him, you know, race really doesn't have anything to do with the Civil War. Lincoln didn't even decide to free the slaves until right at the end as a desperation method.
Right.
And anybody who's against the rebel flag, against, you know, President Davis, wants to rewrite history, wants to disrespect that sort of thing, they're idiots. You know, and I told the governor I thought he was an idiot for doing that. And of course, to his credit, he backed off. But he does have this sort of what I call Yankee mentality that is disrespectful, and it's hurtful to races, because it's got anybody that has a Confederate flag is not a racist. You know, anybody that says they are is just an idiot. There's so many historical reasons why people can have that. I have Confederate flags. And I cherish some of the ones I have that have historical significance. And so, you know, he was very ill-advised to get involved in that. But being from the East and being a Yankee, I could see how he's got in the back of his mind that. And I can't say that a lot of these fellas that are commonly called rednecks that fly them on their truck down in Kentucky might not be racist. I mean, and they may have bad motives for doing that, but by and large, I don't think you can judge all the apples by a couple of bad ones. So that's all I want to say about that. But he has shown a tendency to be overly sensitive about these issues, and he really doesn't do anything. If he really wanted to do something for race, what he would do is come out against affirmative action. That's the biggest slap there is to black people, to try to tell them they're not as good as white people, and therefore, you know, they need extra points and blah, blah, blah. It's a ridiculous thing. You know, it needs to be changed. There's been some very wise black scholars that have written extensively why that's bad. And as if he wants to make a blow at that, you know, I would suggest that he get on that bandwagon.
Well, that's taken us down a little bit of another rabbit hole. So let's bring it back to Chief Justice Minton. So he was appointed to the High Court by Governor Fletcher in 2006, and then reelected in 2012 and 2014. To your point.
Well, then he was elected Chief Justice.
Chief Justice.
He was elected by the people in his district to be a Supreme Court justice. Then you become Chief Justice as a result of an election of your peers, other six people on the Supreme Court with you.
Let me get a little quote on here from the reporter. And again, the reporter on the original story for the Courier Journal was Andrew Wolfson. He talks about retired Justice Donald Wintersheimer of Covington. And just so we can give a little bit of balance on this, Wintersheimer said of Minton that he's very even-tempered and does a good job, and he's a very good man. So, well,
Donald Wintersheimer is one of the class people in Kentucky. He did one of the finest jobs, just as good as I could have done, actually, and we did run against each other in 1983, and he beat me by 800 votes. And then I applauded him and I worked for him and with him. And,
you served on
he's
district.
An excellent. He was an excellent Supreme Court justice. I happen to disagree with him about Minton. Minton is not well liked. I can refer you to 120 circuit court clerks that would have a different opinion. I can refer you to lots of lawyers, and I think when they poll the current Supreme Court, they're going to find that he's not well liked and whatever. And I think, you know, he's done a terrible job on a lot of issues, particularly when it comes to his priorities. And let me give a couple of reasons that weren't in this article. Because this was the interview that I did was very brief. It didn't last more than 3 or 4 minutes, and you can't go into things like we're going into.
We're 36 minutes in.
Okay,
by the way.
Okay.
That's fine.
I seldom shut up. That's one of my problems. They tell me that at my late date that I've been diagnosed with the ADHD, so I tend to interrupt people and just go on and on and on. But anyway, what I was going to say about that is that anywhere you go now, and I love to travel Kentucky because I love Kentucky and I love the different counties and love to learn more, and I love the parks. I love everything about Kentucky. I'm a lifelong resident. Never been anywhere in the world that compared to Kentucky and its green grass and deciduous trees. I've ever been everywhere from Africa to, you know, to Timbuktu, and Kentucky is it for me. But anyway, and everywhere you go, and many of these counties are struggling, really struggling, particularly the coal country, and some of these other areas. But everywhere you go, there's a brand new courthouse. And, you know, everybody else has got nothing, and the courts have got brand new buildings. To me, you don't need a brand new building to conduct justice, particularly in an area where they're struggling, you know, to maintain, find out where they're going to have their next meal. You know, it's really sad in Kentucky, and I've never seen the economy. I never thought I'd live to see things this bad. And of course, hopefully, when Trump gets in there next year, we'll get rid of this Obama problem and our economy will improve. But as of right now, you go in any little county and you find a brand new, spanking new courthouse. And so, you know, people walk in, you know, and they're in awe of the judge is sitting up there on a big, fancy bench, you know, with all the trappings and the most expensive woods on the wall and the carpets. And to me, that's not what justice is all about. If I were on the Supreme Court, I would concentrate on trying to get, you know, better justice. There's so many reforms that could be made right now, and there's so many things that could be done. You don't need to have, you know, all these all this money spent on all these buildings. It's just crazy, and especially the way they do it. Now, I can say, like when we started the district court, one fella who was a close friend of mine, he was actually another officer in the initial District Judges Association. Incidentally, I was the incorporator, one of the incorporators that started the thing back in 78. And so this fella down in, he was from Laurel and Knox County, down in, they call it God's Country down there. By a couple of the parks, and his county judge wouldn't let him in at all. So his brother-in-law was in the National Guard, and he had a friend that had a used car lot. So he got himself a tent from the National Guard, and he borrowed a light he got a little lot there on the used car lot and put up a light bulb, and so that he got a picture taken holding court in this tent, and it made the cover of Time magazine. Of course, that was an embarrassment to the administration, and they finally made sure that the county judges straightened up and let everybody get into the courthouse. But, you know, you just don't need fancy trappings, and he did a fine job with what he had in that little tent, and people loved him. He went on from being a district judge. He finally retired a couple of years ago. He's my age, you know, he's 69, so he retired as a circuit judge, and he's probably, you know, one of the most revered people in those two counties. So, you know, I'm very critical of that kind of thing, the sure. way he's put his priorities. And now to take this vindictiveness out on the clerks, it just shows his character, and it shows what he really is after, and this aggrandizement that he seeks. You know, when you go to his webpage, all these honors that he's received, and now he's at the national level and blah, 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 blah. You know, we don't need our Chief Justice running all over the country, getting awards and hobnobbing with these other people from these other states. We got serious problems here, and I don't even think he should be even thinking about being on that organization. And I hope to hell that our judicial budget is not paying for his travel expenses. I'm going to check into it, though. I can get that from the open records request.
So let's tie a bow on this. Yeah. So where do you think the mistakes were made in this process? Because obviously, and you said it, when you were appointed, you were the same person that was appointed on Monday as Wednesday when you heard that you were not going to be appointed. So is there a breakdown in vetting? Where do you think the mistakes were made?
From their standpoint, I think what happened was,
tell me,
I have enemies. I mean, I've detailed some of them and some that, you know, I don't know of. At my stage in life, and especially me being assertive and fighting the battles that I have, you know, I wouldn't be living a good life if I didn't have a lot of people that hated me, because there's a lot of evil people out there. And I always stand up for truth, justice, and the American way, like Superman said. And then
Hulk Hogan said that too.
He said it too. And then Davy Crockett said, "Be sure you're right, and then go ahead." So I don't back down from anybody. Never have. Never will. And so there are a lot of people that hate me, and there's, like I said, a lot of evil people out there. So I guess the governor has very, very thin skin, because they told me that this decision came from him after he learned some things that was all out there to begin with. And I don't know what of it. I don't know whether the Chief Justice called him and said, "Get rid of that guy. You know, he's called me an asshole." I mean, you could speculate something like that. Somebody I know was told that was the biggest crime I committed, was calling the Chief Justice an asshole. And, I certainly think he is. And particularly under the definition of the book that I was referring to, and even though I'm educated and got a degree in philosophy, theology, and law, you know, some words are just in the vernacular or easier to understand.
So when you took the Facebook page down, was it because
It wasn't because I was anything wrong about it. They just innocently told me that when they get appointments, they would prefer people, you know, not be on Facebook.
So, and done deal. You didn't
care. So I said, okay. They said, do you mind not being on Facebook? I said, I have no mind. I said, I only do it for fun.
Who said that to you?
The same person that called and told me I was appointed.
Okay.
And I said, just get on there for fun. In fact, I forgot to tell you, I was going to tell you that, you know, you always put your Facebook logo up or either a picture of yourself or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I have a picture of Jack Nicholson with sunglasses and a cigarette, and it says, just so you know, I'm an asshole today, and I'll be an asshole tomorrow.
So you call yourself an
exactly.
asshole.
Exactly. And I am to a certain extent, but under a different definition. I am because I'm assertive and aggressive, not necessarily because I'm a jerk and oppressive and a bully. So, you know, it's got various definitions, and it's a word that, you know, is pretty much understood. And I think people should make fun of themselves. You know, I certainly do. And, you know, enough people have called me that I thought, well, I must be, you know.
Well, if they came back and hypothetical, if they offered you another commission, would you accept it?
If the governor called and apologized for kicking me off, I'd love to go right back on the boxing commission. And of course, the Chief Justice, if he called and apologized for to the clerks for standing in the way of their pay parity, like the legislature wanted them to have, I'd certainly be willing to forgive him too.
Well, so my
number is 859-445-5876. Either the governor or the Chief Justice can call me anytime. I am a Christian. I'm a forgiving person. And either one of them want to apologize, I will graciously accept the apology and help them. I'll be happy to help them.
Maybe I can broker a beer summit.
We can pray together. And I know the governor says he's a good Christian. And we can pray together. And the Bible says that the wise man sins at least seven times a day. So, you know, if he wants to admit his mistakes, I'll be happy to accept it. And I would love to go back on the boxing commission. They haven't filled my vacancy yet, so it's still there. And we can help the Chief Justice, you know, and I certainly think he should not run again as Chief Justice and eat a little humble pie and go back to the court and getting some decisions done and let one of the other people that are a little more well-liked among the state and get along with the clerks and the rest of the employees handle the duties as Chief Justice.
Well, that this has been an interesting podcast. This is probably going to be one of our more popular ones. So Tim Nolan, who served on the district court from 78 to 85, now a
86. Yeah.
Well,
and besides that, I was I forgot to tell you, I was Newport City Attorney in 1976 when we started the fireworks, when Johnny TV was mayor. Plus, I've been a law professor. Plus, I was executive director of the Northern Kentucky Legal Aid Society.
Keep going.
I was the executive director of the Hamilton County Legal Assistance Association when we set up the juvenile defender system for the juvenile court in Cincinnati. So I've done quite a bit. I've been rode hard and hung up wet, but I've been retired since '99, so I ain't done much legally this century. But you know, I try to stay active in politics, and I am active in the Tea Party, but I'm not a leader. I don't speak for them, and I don't want anybody to think poorly of the Tea Party just because, you know, I'm an active member.
Sure. Well, Tim Nolan, I appreciate you coming to Fort Thomas. I know.
I love Fort Thomas.
It's a heck of a trek from Campbell County.
I love Fort Thomas, and I have many relatives here and friends, and incidentally, my daughter has that, my sister has the big house down there on Route 8 that's just currently up for sale.
Yeah, yeah.
The mansion on the hill. I think she only wants about 1.2. She'll probably take 1.1, but it's a beautiful house, got an indoor pool. So anybody that's looking to upgrade in Fort Thomas.
All right, Tim Nolan, I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks a lot.
So you've just heard former district judge Tim Nolan talking about his appointment and then subsequent removal from that appointment 2 days apart. For more information, you can find us at fortthomasmatters.com. Subscribe to our podcast, Fort Thomas Matters Radio Podcast, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts, iTunes or Google Play, just search Fort Thomas Matters. Please subscribe, leave a comment,
and help other people find it. Again, for Tim Nolan and our sponsor, Omega Processing Solutions, this is Mark Collier with For Thomas Matters Radio.